Hi, this is Dr. Kimberly Leonard, author of Visualizing Happiness in Every Area of Your Life and host of this podcast, Incredible Life Creator. And today, my guest is Miss Ursula Lentine. Hey, welcome to the podcast, Ursula.
I'm so happy to be here, Kimberly, Dr. Kimberly. I really appreciate the work you do, the healing, your presence, the work you do personally for yourself so you can be a better server in the world, and bringing on all kinds of incredible guests so the world can see, that being normal is not normal.
That's a good way to put it. Well, just so people can know you a little bit, I'm going to go ahead and read your bio. So, Miss Ursula Lentine has her Doctorate of Consciousness Studies, is a licensed minister, and an internal family system subconscious specialist. She is a certified pranic healing instructor and healer. Ursula has facilitated over 5,500 private sessions and worked with thousands in groups since 2010. She works individually with clients to reveal and remove internally embedded beliefs and physical conditions. These symptoms are predispositions from inherited legacy burdens or activated by traumas and life circumstances. She has her own series of 27 shows, The Way of the Spiritual Path. Ursula has created and offered several online classes and courses. She loves helping people with the human longing for peace, clarity, and wellness as part of her life's purpose. All right. There were so many words in there that we're just going to have to get into this because some of those things I don't think if everybody knows what you're doing.
I know it's like the hardest thing to describe what I'm doing. But if we're suffering, it's because it's subconscious, right? We can't will ourselves from our behavior and everything. 90% of our actions and reactions to life is embedded in our subconscious. We're like a hard drive. So we try to change the software and it, glitch, 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 right? New Year's resolutions. By February, we're so upset. And it's because it's a perfect example of how we can't software the hardware, you can't rewire unless you go into the hard drive where emotionally everything is anchored and hooked. And then we go in and we discover and we do healing work. We really relieve the system of the stress that it's causing and all the coping mechanisms we do to try to compensate for the suffering.
Exactly. So we all want to know how you got into doing this. So tell us your story. Where did you start out? Because you didn't start out with all this knowledge and wisdom.
No, I think it's my fa 2020, right? You look back and you're like, oh, look, and oh, of course, and oh, my family's very much like this. I have my grandmother was reading tarot cards and tea leaves on her kitchen table, and it was just kind of normal. Her sister was doing pilgrimages to Fatima and had life-size statues in her living room of Jesus, and she had all the candles, and people would come, and she gave us blessings as children, and it was just a part of our world, So, and I was always very inquisitive, and the nuns and I would butt heads because they wouldn't answer my questions. And when I was 18, I moved to California and was like full blown spiritual path. I want to learn everything. And I studied for 7 years, everything I could get my hands on. And the one consistent study was metaphysics. So I studied metaphysics formally. So, and then I lived on an island for 10 years. Like, I don't even like the beach, but whatever. I married this amazing man, and that didn't turn out so amazing. And it was a third world country. We had five hurricanes and three dogs, and like it was just ridiculous. 10 years. So you often talk on your show about life-changing events. 9/11 hit, and I just woke up and said, "What the hell am I doing with my life? Like, I gotta get out of here." So I crawled out of that relationship, and then just was digging hard to find my spiritual path again. And then 2008 hit because I was doing real estate, full on, chair of board of realtors, and three businesses within one business, and just rocking it, working hard, hard, hard. and the whole industry blew up. So I said, okay, I'm just going to do what I want to do, which is spiritual stuff and healing stuff and, helping people. So I dug in and formally studied some more for a couple more years, lived off of my savings. And then since 2010, I've had my doors open, and it's now everything's okay. And now this whole crazy world we're living in, I'm like, yeah, this is the whole deal, I have answers and I can help people whose lives are now blowing up because of the paradigms are shifting so fast and furiously.
That is so true. We need you very, very much right now.
Sisters,
Thank
sisters, right?
you.
You and I were doing the work.
Exactly. So let's just start with some basics, because some of the things I was talking about, Doctorate of Consciousness Studies, Family Systems Subconscious Specialist, Pranic Healing Instructor and Healer. So let's just start, because not everybody knows what these things are. So let's
Okay,
just start
okay.
with one that I'm a little bit familiar with, which is
Okay.
Pranic Healing. So
Okay.
tell us, what is
So,
Pranic Healing?
yeah, lots of people know about Reiki. So, I took Reiki 1 and 2, and I'm like, I don't know what this is. It's really cool, but I don't know what to do with it. And I'm very logical and practical. You wouldn't think so, but I am. And it didn't make sense to me. So, several years later, Pranic Healing came around, and the teacher of Pranic Healing is Master Choa Kuk Sui. He's a Chinese guy who was raised in the Philippines, and he was a chemical engineer. So if you know any engineers, they're not exactly woo-woo, right? So I was like, okay, what's this? And I had been studying metaphysics, like I said. And then what is metaphysics? How I boil it down is an angry person lives in an angry world, and a peaceful person lives in a peaceful world, but they're next door neighbors. So how does that happen? It's the perception that we're seeing life in creates our reality. So if I'm perceiving that the world's against me and it's not a safe place and people are untrustworthy, that's coming from my programming, from my DNA, from my experiences, my trauma, my family's trauma, the world I've lived in, the culture is framing my perception. So in metaphysics, they have a little tagline. They say, if you don't like your life, change your perception. But they don't tell you how. And that's where the subconscious work comes in, because then we can heal out, the damaged DNA stuff that comes through. So pranic healing, when I studied that, it was everything I had learned in metaphysics applied. Because metaphysics is kind of an understanding, but pranic healing is an application. So pranic healing is working on the blueprint of who we are. So when you start studying spirituality, you say, okay, I'm a spiritual being and I have a physical body. I also have an emotional body, a mental body. So pranic healing is like, oh, you have a physical condition. Let's work on your energetic field, your blueprint, clean that up, any of the vibrational disturbances, right? Because so stress, if we're stressed out, it hits all of our layers and it puts like a little kink in our energetic field and it creates a congestion. So in pranic healing, we smooth out that congestion, and then the whole field, ripples out health rather than trauma or stress.
Exactly. So that can affect us emotionally or physically.
Usually all of them, right? Because say, how does that work? Well, say you have a work environment and it's stressing you out. How does stress show up? Don't sleep very well. I have indigestion. I'm a little short-tempered. So chronic stress turns into chronic issues, right? Insomnia, that's coming from stress. That's coming from an imbalance in the system. And then even the medical association, they're like, oh, well, we did a big study and, oh, gee, all disease is stress related. We're like, I know.
That is for sure. So if you were working with somebody with pranic healing, what does that involve?
It's a no touch energy modality, which is brilliant because as soon as you touch somebody, you have to have a license, right? Massage therapist or, whatever. So now we don't ever have to have a license. If you don't touch anybody, nobody can say they were inappropriate, right? So now we're covered and we're like clean because we're working on the energy body. So I don't need to physically touch anybody. And there's a transference of energy. Say I'm working on you, I open up my crown chakra, universal energy, God consciousness, love comes through and uses me as a vessel. And then through the training, I project that energy to you, and I'm working on your different chakras, your different organs, your different emotional states. I work with colors, and I can even work with a crystal. So all of those are classes. But then, like I said, I'd be working on your energy field. And then afterward, you would feel lighter, more expanded. You'd have more energy. You'd have more balance. So if you were anxious, you normalize. If you were depressed, you normalize.
Wow. So, and then if there were physical ailments, I don't know, someone had a headache or a stomach ache or something, as you're balancing that, does that relieve some of the physical
Yes.
discomforts also?
Yes. And the more chronic a condition is, the more sessions you would need to, relieve the whole system. Because like I said, stress will get concretized and it'll get really congested, so you're not just going to go like this and it's going to calm down. You go like this and it opens up a little and then, it finally starts. So it's a natural modality that we've not been taught in our current society, but I'm sure, like, I have a friend from India, and he's like, "My mom used to do that. What are you doing?" So, they other cultures have known little bits and pieces, but he put it together.
Right. So, sometimes we're in situations where we can't really leave the situation. So, for example, with other family members, or even work where it's like, okay, I would like to go work somewhere else, but right now, it's just not possible from a logical standpoint. I can't leave without having some money coming in. And so
Right.
we find ourselves in these situations where we actually, even though we know it may be damaging us or it's stressful, or it's uncomfortable, we have to find a way to actually still be in the situation and work through that. So when you're working with people and they have that situation, how do you advise them or how do you help them?
Well, do you know the story of Nelson Mandela?
Well, some people might. Why don't you?
He was a prisoner and they were horrible. It wasn't like 3 meals a day and you go to the gym and you exercise. No. He was like locked in a solitary confinement, never knowing are they going to come in and kill me today? Right? Am I going to eat? Like, what's going on in the rest of the world? I have no idea. Like, I'm completely isolated. So, of course, you lose your mind for a few days and then you're like, okay, well, here I am. They can take away my freedom. They can take away my speech. They may ruin my relationships. What's still mine? And he figured out my relationship with my own self is something that they can't take away from me. So we can, if he can be in that situation, then we can learn from him and say, okay, I'm in an abusive relationship. I'm in a work situation. I'm in a poverty consciousness. I have cancer. All of these things. We turn into victim mode, and that's where we see like, oh, I have no power. I'm helpless. And then when we say, well, that's one reality. Do I have any other choices? But because of my programming, oh no, that's the only choice. Everybody around me is the same way. Of course, it's this way. We're so convinced. But when we get really still, when life just smacks us around a little bit and we're like, okay, I'm listening. What do you want to tell me? Then we find out, like, hey, I'm here for a reason. I don't know what that reason is. And I'm suffering a lot and I don't like it very much, but I can either lean into it or I can say, yeah, I have some pain. Because we've all met people, you know, they've had hardships and they're living under horrific conditions, but they still have a good attitude. So we get to choose our attitude. And when we can look at parts of us, now the internal family systems, that divides us into parts. So there's our true self, the part that's beating our heart, breathing our lungs, you know, that silence within, that's a part of the universal consciousness because there's order and harmony and life. So something greater than my ego is keeping me alive. Kimberly, what can you imagine if I was in charge of my heartbeat?
Or
I'd be
breathing.
like, one, two, three. Girl. So there's something greater than me. So no matter how big my ego can get and all the stories I have created and all the emotions that are distracting, it's nothing compared to our source. So then when we talk to different parts of us, you know, the victim part, and say, well, you know what? I'm not a victim. I'm in a situation right now. There is going to be a way out. I love myself. I am not going to be treated like this. They can holler and scream, but I'm going to stay calm and I'm going to find a way. I'm going to find a way out of this place. And many, many people, many women have been in abusive relationships and difficult situations, and they just find a way. They, you know, one day, one day, one day, and then finally something happens and they can come out and they will be supported.
That is so true. And yeah, I actually got lost in what you were saying, but yeah, it doesn't matter which situation we find ourselves in. Like you said, we always can choose something else. And you know, the example you gave of Mandela, I mean, there's not much worse than that. That was really terrible. So when you're working with people, sometimes, you know, we feel like we're stuck. And, you know, like you said, well, we can only see one thing, but sometimes we really, really feel stuck. Like, I don't even know how to get out of this by myself. I know I'm aware that I'm stuck. I'm aware that I don't want to be stuck, but how do I move out of this?
Yeah. So that's the internal family systems. Now we'll go to the list of things that are ununderstandable. So internal family systems is that premise that there's our true self that I spoke about, and there's these parts of us. So in that situation, you know, this is unreasonable. I don't know how to get out of it, and you know, I'm stuck. And then that stuck now is not just by itself. There's emotions tagged to it, right? I'm a victim. I'm miserable. I'm not important. Nobody loves me. I'm in this alone. So those are also beliefs and emotions piling up to make sure that nothing is going to else happen, right? And there's this other part like, oh, if I could only, you know, Cinderella, if I could only, you know, go to the ball, if I could only get the hell out of this thing that I'm in, the situation. And then we have to just start inner resourcing. Like, okay, how did I get here? Oh, like Mandela. He had plenty of thinking time, right? Plenty of feeling time. He could examine himself and say, okay, here's how the situation is. Here's my options. Here's who I am. Here's what I actually believe. So it's to start changing our beliefs, but you can't really do it alone because you're in that victim part is so strong and so overwhelming that the little Cinderella voice is not going to get any like, hey, everybody, I know what to do. We're going to get the hell out of here, you know? Like everyone's like, shut up, you're going to get us in trouble. So it's just to get to know the different parts of us and also to ask for help because women have, you know, in the current culture, we have been divided against each other. Because we went put to work, and then work is competitive, and you have to compete, and you don't compete, and you don't can't trust the next woman, and she's after your man, so all this crap that's not our natural nature. Because if you look at a bunch of little girls, they'll play together, and they'll love on each other, and they're so cute. They may get into their spats, but they'll be best friends the next 5 minutes. Our nature as females is to nurture one another. And if you see a sister and she's struggling and you're like, oh, it's not my business, who am I, and this and that, I've come to the conclusion if they're in my field, it's my responsibility to say something. Because when I was in bad shape and a friend here or there reached out, I was like, really? Really, there's a way to get out of here. There's a, because I was in a very unhealthy, unhappy marriage for 10 years, isolated, living on an island in a whole other country with all this chaos and stuff. And he was upset because he couldn't do the things that he wanted to do. So he was always angry. So our relationship barely existed. So I was isolated in an isolating situation. And I just had one phone call a week with my best friend, and she was my lifeline. She's like, you believe in yourself and you hang in there, and I love you, and just write in your journal and all of that stuff. So she was my lifeline. And then when 9/11 hit, I didn't know what the heck to do. I just needed to get out. So I just leaped because I couldn't, I was in such a place that I couldn't even plan the next steps because I it was so far away. But then my sister and her husband took me in, and then that led to something, and that led to something, and that led to something. So we have to have hope, like those little Cinderella parts. One has to have hope and start making a plan and reading books and just finding a way, like, how the hell am I going to crawl out of this situation? Because we're not the first one who is in that kind of situation. So we have the internet, we can start researching, like, who has been in this and how did they get out? Or, hey, look, there's healers, or hey, there's a meditation group, or hey, there's a yoga thing. Yoga was one of the things that helped me get out of that thing. So we would live in Florida and the island, and in Florida, like, just maybe 3 times a year, and it was just like, oh, I'm in America. And I would like sneak away to a yoga class. And the yoga instructor would see me come every few months. And he's like, I know, I don't try to intrude and everything. It was this little guy, and he was like, are you okay? You don't, do you need help? And I'm like, no, I'm fine. Like, don't get me in trouble. Like, why are you talking to me? But then he kept saying, well, I'm here for you. I'm a married man. I'm not, I just can tell something's not okay with you. And he's like, here's my number, if you need something, right? And I kept that number, but that gave me hope. And then through the hope and then the big catastrophic thing, I had enough courage to get me, to get that fire lit and to change my life again.
Yeah, and you said something really important in different words, but sometimes it's just little tiny steps. Like you said, well, my sister took me in. It might not seem that significant, but that was hugely significant. All of a sudden, you were in some place safe. Just that one little step.
Yeah, and that was several years ago, but it's still a part of my journey, and that's why I can help other people because I know the story. I lived it already. And it's our human story, right? We've been suppressed, we've been enslaved by systems and conditions and, just mentalities and finances and education, the color of our skin. There's so many things that are against the human soul for bursting out and being their best, wonderful self. It's like the suppressiveness, for brightness. And it's like the brighter you are, the more, you're like, leave me alone. I just want to be bright and shiny.
Yeah, for sure. And you were talking about, kind of being in a situation where it was really, really hard to get out. And I know that you work with people from all different walks of life, and a lot of times you'll see, especially in the society where you said we're all competitive, you see these women, they have their own business, from the world standpoint, they're really successful, but they're some of the clients that you work with because internally there's so much still to work on, you know, especially with social media. We see people and they only put the nice pictures up. Nobody puts out, oh, I'm having a horrible day. No one puts that on social media. No one puts pictures of them bawling their eyes out when something really bad happens. And it all have, you know, bad things happen to everyone.
Yes.
So, you know, how do people know that what you're doing could help them? Because maybe they're feeling fine, but how do they know?
The people who are ready to come to me, they're fed up. That's my client. They're just fed up. They've tried therapy, they've tried medication, they've tried counseling, and just like nothing's working. And they know that little Cinderella part. They know. This is not who they really are. There is something better for them in this life, and they feel trapped, they feel stuck, they just don't know the answers. But there's something inside that's like, try, just do something else. There's one more thing, like give it another go. And then they come to me because spirit works that way, right? When the student's ready, the teacher appears. So I hold space, I have a skill set, and I can bring people in a journey. And then they get free from their burdens and their locks and their muting and their chains that are holding them down. And then they just get liberated and they have a tool set now. And then they become empowered and they start living a better life. And it's the greatest thing I can do for another human being is give them liberation from their own stuff.
And sometimes we just have to remind it that we do have the tools, because a lot of times along the way we do learn tools. But I was reminded of this recently. Somebody said, "Well, do you do that therapy that you do with other people?" And I'm like, "Oh gosh, I haven't done it on myself in a while. I have the tools. I know what to do." But sometimes we just need to be reminded of that we have them and that we do have options.
And community always is good. Like I do, because I lived on the island, the biggest lesson I learned is how valuable community is, because isolation is very unhealthy, mentally, emotionally, especially socially. So when this COVID stuff hit and we were all in the, isolation land, a lot of people fell apart. Because they didn't have that connection. They weren't hugging people. Nobody cared about them. Everybody was in survival mode. People they knew loved and died, like it was horrible. And I think what's happening now is we're recovering from that, going, what the hell was that? Because sometimes I work with people and they've had surgery or they've gone through a breakup or they've had a major loss. And they're like, what's the matter with me? That was last year. And I'm like, you're only starting to heal now. Because say someone's in a car accident, the body will go into shock mode and they won't feel pain for a few minutes so they can make some logical decisions and get into a safer place. So if they were in pain automatically, they could die quickly because they would just be focusing on the pain instead of the emergency around. That's the brilliance of the way we were designed, right? In our design, our human design, we were like, okay, we're going to numb mode so you don't feel the pain. You go into heightened alert mode so you can make some decisions quickly. And then you get to a safer place, and then, more things can happen. And then when you're in a safe place, then you feel the pain. So just like that, say we have a trauma, and then not till a few months later are we like, what the hell just happened? And you're like, it was months ago. And you're like, no. This is appropriate for you to be. So when people went through some, crisis in the pandemic, they're after the pandemic is like, okay, I think it's over now. Like everybody go back to work. Everyone's like, wait a minute.
Wait a minute, my paradigm has changed, and I no longer want to go back to work.
Right. So there are a lot of people, even I'm working with CEOs now, and they don't know who they are without their job. And before I used to be mad at them. I'm like, you guys, you're just so greedy and power hungry and you're not caring about the little man. And then I realized like, oh, they're just as brainwashed as everybody else. They were groomed to be dominating and, cold-hearted. Then when you get to know them, they're not cold-hearted. They're just somebody's son that got shoved into that position and like, oh, we're all struggling, we're all suffering, we're all under the same hocus pocus stuff.
Yeah, for sure. So many times, people find themselves living their lives for other people. And a lot of times, like those CEOs, you didn't even know that you were living your life for someone else. You thought, this is what I want. But you, like you said, you were just told this is what you want. And when you wake up, you go, I don't want that. I don't want to be that. I don't want to do that. this is what I want to do. But it takes up that wake up, and that wake up happens at different times for different people.
But this time period, it's a global wake up. So the dark, nefarious, things that have been going on for decades, if not centuries, are being seen, they're being exposed because we're in a shift. If you study nature, everything's in cycles. So now we're moving into the age of Aquarius, and the patriarch system is crumbling. And now the feminine, the divine feminine, is on the rise. So in about 5, 10 years, you're going to see a lot of women in high positions of leadership. And they will govern very differently than men do because our brains are wired completely different. So women are mothers, so we have this viewpoint of how can we do things where everybody wins, right? So how can I feed all my children? How can they all accelerate and be who they need to be? We're thinking of everybody. Our brain is actually wired to be more like, not mono thought, right? Men are kind of single focus because they're hunters, so they can't be distracted by the flowers and the bees and the right when they're trying to hunt. So their brain is single focus, like get the money, win the thing, be the best. And women are like, are you okay? Is everything all right? Okay. And so we're more systems thinker, and we can think in multiple references at the same time. And they're all about, men are about safety, but we're also about safety in a different way too. So because of just, it's time now, it's the turn, of the cycle. And we want to be mad at the men, but again, they were just doing their thing. So I think as the men go fall apart and they do the collapsing of the systems that they were caught in, that they will do healing within themselves. And now there's a time for women to gather and be in circles and love on each other and heal each other and listen to each other and encourage, because our nature is to love on one another and encourage. Like, hey, you got a dream? How can I support you? What do you need? Yeah, I'll call some friends. We'll all sit together. So I think that's going to happen more and more. And we're going to just naturally heal by just hanging out together and being, our girly selves and feeling safe with one another.
So you're talking about community, and even from growing up, from childhood on up, if we get in with the wrong community, like if a teenager gets in with a gang, it's not good.
No.
As men or as women, how do we find our community? How do we find that supportive, loving community, that one where people are helping each other?
Yeah, and then we can't even let, let's not forget that there's a lot of gender, different people in the middle there between the binary. That's a part of the paradigm, right? Divide and conquer. So now we have an entire generation. They're not a girl or a boy, or they're a boy, and then they're a girl, and then they're a girl, and then they're a boy. And I'm like, what's your name? And what's your pronoun? And how do I connect with you? Right? So they also are looking for acceptance and community. So we have to be careful because there's this big trend, mushrooms and ayahuasca and all of that stuff. And I'm like, y'all, them be drugs. I don't care, they call it ceremony. That's a drug dealer. Like, look how it comes into the community. Like, hey, we're all doing this thing and you can come and we're all together and we're community. I'm like, that's how the drug dealers work. Are you paying attention? So we have to be, and this is a good question because we have to be very careful because we have such a hunger and a thirst for community. So anybody who comes along, we're like, you're my best friend. But then, things don't go well, or they suck your energy, or all of a sudden they're asking you for money, and you're like, wait, is this my community? And we don't trust ourselves enough because we have not been groomed and trained, like, go inside, go inside, go inside, because our answers are inside. But because we've made poor decisions based on emotions or social, pressure and all of that stuff, and wanting to fit in, we've not made good decisions. So now we don't trust our inner resourcing. So it's a balance between being okay with ourselves, like Nelson Mandela, and finding other people who are also okay with themselves and that we can feel safe with. Because sometimes you get into a situation and you're like, oh, these are all my friends and this is my community. And then you get a little vulnerable and then they're not handling it very respectfully. So then you're like, ooh, did I do something wrong? And then your people pleaser part comes out, and then you're not in a good marriages happen that way, right? Everybody's delusional and they get the hormone all triggered and they're like, oh, love of my life, and then you're like, no, the guy is a criminal. Like, no. Because
The
that's happened recently, that
criminal.
in within my circle, we're like, no. And then she was like, no, everything's great, everything's wonderful. So we're always around, as again, our female nature is like, okay, we're here. Do your thing, we're here. We love you, we understand. It happens to the best of us, and we're here.
And it is good to have wise counsel around you because we all have blind spots when it comes to any kind of relationship, whether it be business or family or friends. We all have blind spots, and it's good to have wise people who have our best interests in mind.
We used to have family, where you could go to grandma or grandpa or auntie because they did have your back, and they'll be like, don't kids who you're playing with, they don't come from a good family and they're nothing but trouble. They always knew, but we've been pulled away from family. And one of my recent messages are it takes three generations to lose our history. And we're in the middle generation right now. So if we don't kind of step up and help the millennials and the other kids behind them and say, look, these are the things that have worked for thousands of years. These are the things that are new and very experimental. This is how you're getting manipulated. This is how you think for yourself. This is how you look for people who are dependable. This is how you show up and respect yourself. This is how you don't go to bed with people because they want you to. This is how you use your body, as a sacred vessel. Like, we need to be telling these things because we were told not like a lot, but we're aware of everything I just said, but now we're the ones holding the light. Saying, okay, come this way because that's dark over there. At least this one has been tried and true for centuries. So I think, focusing on family because they share our blood, and even though they share the trauma, mostly family does love each other.
Exactly. So now we're in 2024, and all these things are changing around us, and we have to decide who we want to be, what we want to do. And as we're making that decision, what kind of things should we be looking at? How do we make those decisions?
Yeah, very much. Excellent question. It's the chaos is going to continue and get worse and go faster. Because you can look, right? When I talk about cycles, you can just look and say, okay, look how it's trending. We have an election coming up in November. The wars are still going on. We don't hear about them. If you look it up, you can see that there's many wars going on in the world. Hawaii had snow. Okay, like everything's going super wacky. So instead of looking at the chaos, we need to push the chaos aside, saying, okay, I can't control any of that other stuff. And I'm not going to buy into it because it makes me feel helpless. And it's going to make me go towards the chaos to look for answers. Not smart. So let me remove myself from the chaos and remember who I am, that whatever's beating my heart and breathing my lungs is more powerful than any stories I'm telling myself. Let me get to know that. Daily practice in the morning, start your day with, okay, this is what I know to be true, right? Whatever that is for any person. So what do we really know that's dependable? And then start moving towards that and finding more confidence, getting healthier, physically stronger, because we don't know what's going on. And as food shortages and money and all of this happens, more and more things will be taken away from us because we've been out of balance, right? The cycles. We're too consumer, you know, we have too much freedom. We have too, like everything's excessive. So now the normal balancing cycle will be not
Right.
right. So instead of going like, oh, here, if we're really smart, we can go, I'm going to go the middle path. I don't have to be depleted because I am choosing to get away from this excessive stuff. And I'm going to live as simple as I can and as clean as I can. And I'm going to make sure that I'm spending time with other quality people who support me and love me for who I am with all my flaws. And that we can move together and have agreements about what's important and what are we committing to and where are we going to give our energy and our intention.
Exactly. You are so helpful and so wise in the things you're saying. So thank you.
You're welcome.
And I wanted to ask you about an organization that you're involved in. And actually, I don't know if he's the president or the director of that. I interviewed him a few weeks ago.
Really?
But the Sapria. So do you want to talk about that?
Yes. I've been working with people, like you mentioned in the bio there. And that was January. I didn't even count my 2023 numbers, but anyway, 5,000 sessions, right? So I am, because I'm practical, logical, there's a very scientific part of my brain. And I do, I look for systems and I hear stories over and over again. And I say, okay. The crisis that we have, that's one of the things that nobody really talks about because it's so horrible, is that we are having too much sexual abuse. Like even if someone got molested, it was only 3 minutes. It their life course was this way, and the molestation would turn it this way. It takes a woman to be around age 45 before she puts the pieces together and says, oh, maybe that was a part of the problem of why I had low self-esteem, why I had body issues, why I had eating issues, why I, gave my value away, why I undersold myself, why I ended up with that kind of guy, why I don't like myself as a person, right? Why I run addiction, why I have anxiety, why I go to depression on a regular basis. So they've done their research. Sapria is an amazing organization because they have taken such a like a fragile, difficult topic, and they've done a ton of research and they've done a ton of financial support, and they've really organized themselves to be global. So right now they have two locations, Atlanta and Utah, and they have free programs. Like anybody can go online and just start studying what do they have there for them. They have preventative programs, how to go to around to schools and educate children, how to work, how to talk with parents about teaching your child about their body and sexuality and boundaries, you know, in a really healthy way. We don't have that conversation anywhere else. Everybody's just guessing or doing what they said, what they were told, or no, there's no conversations. And then these kids learn the they have porn at 10 years old. Kids watching porn at 10 years old because nobody's got the systems in place. No one knows how to combat that. There's sex trafficking going on. It's a global addiction now. Right? We got the Jeffrey Epstein deal. That's the tip of the iceberg. It's sicker than that. And it's really, really bad. And it's making a disease within our culture that, you know, you're like, I don't feel so good. I wonder what it is. You go to the doctor, they don't know. Go to another doctor, go to another doctor. Finally, someone's like, oh, you have parasites. So this underlying horrific violation of our most innocent, precious commodity, like the child. They're corrupting the child, they're stealing energy from the child, they're getting this like I'm doing something bad rush, and then it causes an addiction and it's just terrible. So Supriya is like, there's a problem. I know no one wants to talk about it, but sooner or later people will be looking for us, so here we are. And it's fantastic. So let me just read exactly what it is because it's hard to talk about. So Supriya is they exist to liberate individuals and society from child sexual abuse and its lasting impact. Remember that example I gave about the woman who, you know, like, why am I like this? And then it broadens, right? Because they realize it's a bigger problem than just that, to help them understand that we liberate individuals with the healing services and liberate society with the preventative services, the education, and finding ways to talk about such a thing, because there's a lot of shame around it and there's a lot of muting around it. Most, so they say 1 in 5, and I say reported because I know I hear the stories. It's more like 3 in 5, because when that happens to a child, boys or girls, there's a muting because somebody already crossed a line. Even if you're 3 years old, you know something's not right. But you also know you're not going to say, hey, don't do that, because no one told you to defy authority, or you're under the care of that person. So you're not going to tell them, stop. They've already crossed a line. So now you're in fear for your life. And when you're such a small piece of prey, you know, you're just tiny compared to an aggressive adult, you don't do anything except for freeze. And in that freezing, you mute. So the 10% who do tell, hey, mommy, hey, this, hey, that, the parent is like, oh my God, that's not possible. If that was so, that means it's my fault. No, you're making it up. So that child who had the courage, who somehow got off through the muting thing, had the bravery to say something's not right, I'm not okay, something bad happened at the babysitter or the school or the whatever. And then the parent's like, nope, can't handle it, shuts them down, and then now that goes into the darkness. And what happens is once that thing happens, that child is already like programmed in a way, and they will magnetize other events to continue to happen. They will get in an abusive boyfriend and abusive relationship. And, you know, it's, sorry to be saying all this stuff, but it's better to talk about it and to have an honest conversation to say there's help. Because in the subconscious work I do, very often that's a part of the story and we don't even get to it. Sometimes people lock it out and then we go deeper, deeper, deeper. And then they'll be like, oh my God, I totally remember. I had blocked it out for years.
That is so true, and so many people are walking around with that,
They don't even know it.
men and women, where things happen, especially in childhood, like you said, when they're they're so innocent and they don't, they don't know how to even react to it.
So that program goes in and teaches children, this is your body and it don't matter. And even in my work that I've done, I'm a youth minister. Every year, I would sit the kids down and I'd say, hey, parents, we're going to talk about this. I need you to be here instead of the main service. I need you to sit here. And I would tell the children, this is your body. What if it's a teacher? What if it's an uncle? What if it's a family friend? No. And I say, you get very loud and you stand up and you tell them no, because the perpetrator gets into a zombie mode. And if a child is like, rah, they'll be like, oh, shit, they don't want to get in trouble. So they kind of slurk off because they're some slimy thing anyway. You know what I mean? So I teach the children, like, get firm. And I tell the parents, continue this conversation.
And that is wonderful because you don't hear people doing that. Like you
No,
said,
and that's all it takes.
not
That's
talked about.
all it takes.
So yeah, and I know that Sapria is having an event in June, I believe, here
Yep, they're
in
having a
Canada.
gala in Atlanta. So we're looking for sponsorship. We're looking for donations for the silent auction. We're looking for people who are just like, yeah, that is something important, and I want to support that. And become a part of the movement of awareness and sharing the links and the posts and just there's classes for people to take. There's a free 4-hour webinar that they can take. There's all kinds of pieces of paper that they can download and talk with their family members. There's retreat centers. People can go for free to a whole weekend retreat and start the healing process. It's really a beautiful, beautiful movement.
Yes, it is. So, just going back to you and how you help people. So, if people wanted to connect with you or they wanted to work with you, just tell us where to find you, websites, resources, classes, what you offer.
What I invite everybody to, like, even if they like, nope, I don't have any problems. I'm like, it's fine. Good, come anyway. So the Twin Hearts meditation, where that's a piece of the pranic healing teaching, and we bless the planet with loving kindness. And so many people like, oh, I can't meditate. And I'm like, yeah, because everybody thinks that silent meditation is the only meditation. I'm like, no, that's the hardest one. Right. So a guided meditation in group is the easiest one because all you do is show up and the rest gets taken care of. And this meditation, because remember, he's a chemical engineer, he's a scientist, and he's an enlightened being. So the design of this meditation is so sophisticated because I've been doing it for years. I see all the nuances of how it's designed and why he says it and the timing and everything. But as a new person, you just sit down and you follow along, and we're blessing the planet with loving kindness, and people's lives start changing. They start calming down, they start reacting differently, like, better things start happening to them. Their medication's not as necessary. Different things slowly, slowly start happening. So that's the easiest thing that people can do to shift in a better direction for themselves. And then on my website, I have a 20-minute session where people can come and we can talk on a Zoom call, and they can tell me what's going on in their life, what issues they're trying to deal with. And then I'll explain how I work and how I would approach that. And then we do an intro session so they can have a taste of the work. And then typically after that, they'll do 12 sessions, and we'll just go in and clean lots of the history so they can really move into who they know themselves to be without all these little problems that keep blocking them from, relaxing and enjoying their life and, living fulfilled and pursuing their dreams and enjoying the day.
Beautiful. And then what is your website so people can find you?
Every social media, it's my first and last name, UrsulaLentini.com, at Gmail, like the YouTube.
Okay, so that's easy to find.
Yeah.
So now a personal question. What gives you the most happiness and fulfillment in your life at this point?
Serving others. It's a win-win. Anybody who has ever volunteered You go in with like, okay, I'm giving my time, I'm giving my intention, you know, I'm giving my skill set. And then by the time they pass the threshold backwards, you know, leaving the door, they're like, oh my God, I just had the most amazing time. And there's like three miracles that happened, and I feel so fulfilled. So I get to live a life of helping people in the most gentle way to transform, to let go of the pain and the discomfort, and to watch them bloom. I feel like a gardener, you know, and I'm cultivating the soil and, you know, nourishing the plant. And then I get to see this beauty just start shining out of the people. And it's just, it's magical.
Beautiful. Well, thank you so much for being on the podcast today and for sharing your wisdom, and it's been a wonderful conversation.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. And Dr. Kimberly, really, the healing work that you're doing and that you've done with so many people and touched their lives and custom designed, you know, what does this person need, and giving them everything they need, and educating yourself and doing your own inner work so your heart can be so full when people come to you. I mean, I really appreciate and admire the work you're doing and how you're showing up.
Well, thank you. So I have one last question before we finish. What is your best advice on living an incredible, amazing life?
That peace is more valuable than happiness. If we focus on peace and we strive for peace, then when, let's say peace is like a line here, like a zero line, then if something bad happens, you go down, but you go back to peace. Happiness happens, great, but then you go back to peace. So you're not right? Because happiness is usually happy because, you know, this means some outside thing. But peace is something that we can maintain, and then that the more we maintain peace, the wider it becomes, and the less we'll be like, no, I'm not tolerating that. You're taking me out of my zone. Like, no, right? So it's easier to have boundaries around negativity and people, energy suckers, and arguments, and you know, abuse and all of that. We're like, nope, I'm sticking with my peace. And then happiness is nice, but it's not something you're chasing. It's something that just happens every once in a while because happiness will come and go. But if we can live in peace, it's kind of the Buddhist middle path, you know, to the ego who loves all the drama, it's kind of boring. But if you want to move, right? If you want to live, you don't have to go up and down, up and down. You can just stay in peace and really get a lot of traction, influence a lot of people, enjoy your life so much more. So I think peace is the focus. If you ask me one thing, find peace, because it will feed you eternally.
All right, well, thank you so much. And we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you. Thank you very much for taking the time and, you know, just sharing and talking about things that are really important in life. Thank you.